Last hour. It's going to be a great hour. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, or good morning, good afternoon. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. Big head bets. James Kelly, what are his thoughts on the NFL weekend? We're going to give you a few games that you want to hit, get down, hammer, get paid. Watch with interest this weekend. For entertainment purposes only, that's coming up next segment. Albie's week that was coming up before the end of the program. Quickly, I do want to talk about some Major League Baseball news. You know, the role of manager in baseball has been changing over the years. There's been this move to younger managers who connect with their players on a personal level. And in some cases, they serve as an interface between the analytics crew in the front office and the players on the field, right? We've seen this. You've seen guys like David Ross, Aaron Boone, move directly from broadcasting right into the most pressure-packed seats in baseball. We've seen this time and time again. So you see this move, and you see this movement towards younger managers and different roles. So the White Sox unveiled their new manager. What did they do with it? Where did they go? Did they find some young guy who's got a crazy head for the game? Did they find a recently retired player who can connect with players on a personal and a professional level? A guy with an analytics background? No, they hired Tony La Russa. Wait, what? The hell year is this? 2020 or 2000? 2000 or 1979, because that's when the White Sox hired Tony La Russa the first time. 1979. 19 freaking 79. Not only is that before all of his players were born, that's before other managers were born. He was hired before other managers were born. Twins manager Rocco Baldelli was born in 81. The White Sox hired a guy that they hired first in 79. They hired a guy before another manager was born. That's how old that guy is. So you're probably wondering, damn, Rome, how old is he? 140? No, but he is 76. Now, I'm not going to ask if you could find somebody who's younger, because you pretty much couldn't find anybody who's older. Just like I can save my breath. And I do not have to ask if you considered hiring somebody who looks more like the players he's about to work with. I get the sense that really was not on the table. Alex Cora was available. AJ Hinch was available. And do not tell me they were passed over because of cheating scandals and that TLR was the right pick because he's scandal-free. Because if you think that, you must have slept through the 80s and the 90s. Again, in the year 2020, they hired a guy that they first hired more than 40 years ago. Are they going to bring Wilbur Wood with him? I'm not going to say that TLR is a horrible hire, but I am going to ask, was Connie Mack not returning your calls? Did you consider the late Casey Stengel? How about Walter Alston? Did you kick the tires on John McGraw? I'm sure Cap Anson probably has some great plays up his sleeve. Listen, Tony La Russa has had a great career. Tony La Russa is a Hall of Famer. Not a future Hall of Famer. He's already in the Hall of Fame. And you're going to bring him back to the dugout. He's been away from management since 2011. The game has changed a hell of a lot in the last decade. And yet you're going to bring this guy back. GM Rick Hahn said in a statement, quote, "We are extremely excited about the future of the team," end quote. Man, that takes some gonad. That takes some balls. Imagine having the audacity to use the future, quote, the word future, when you're hiring a manager who had the job more than four decades ago. That'd be like me saying, "I'm excited about the future of Ritt." Make no mistake.
Finally.
Ritt's like, what did I do? Nothing, Ritt. You just got old. That's what you did. That's not your fault. Listen, make no mistake about this. Ritt's old. And this was a Jerry Reinsdorf decision. As Jeff Passan tweeted, quote, "The Chicago White Sox have hired Hall of Famer Tony La Russa as their manager. La Russa, 76, managed the White Sox from 79 to 86, and his firing was owner Jerry Reinsdorf's great regret. La Russa last managed in 2011 when he led St. Louis to a championship," end quote. A couple of quick thoughts on that. When I say that they hired him in 79, I'm not saying like they hired this guy as an area scout or a cross checker. He was manager in 79, all right? 40 years ago. And then you fired this guy in 86, Reinsdorf, and you still regret it. Dude, get over it. That was 34 years ago. You're trying to right a wrong from 34 years ago? 34. That's why you're hiring this guy? Because that was your great regret? And from the sounds of it, it's going terribly already. Check this out from The Athletic. Quote, La Russa said he has not spoken to any White Sox players yet, but Sox players who spoke to The Athletic ranged from cautiously open-minded to dismissive and derisive in their reaction to the hiring. Other Sox officials expressed shock. Even though Reinsdorf's preference for La Russa has only grown more clear over the past few weeks. End quote. Man, I love it when you hire a manager and the reaction is dismissive and derisive from the players. That's awesome. That's going great. And shock from the staff. And by the way, those concerns are legit. Because it's not just that analytics have changed in the last decade or how the game is played and how it's celebrated too. Remember, this is the guy. Remember what this guy said about analytics in the past. He's been one of the staunchest guardians of baseball's code as well. This is the same guy who told the Washington Post, quote, if you don't think sportsmanship belongs in the game, you're full of bleep. And that's not some quote from ancient history written down by George Will. La Russa said that in August. August, after Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a grand slam on a 3-0 count. Like one of the best moments of the year. And he had more, quote, it's just not sportsmanlike. The way it was described to me was, it's team against team. That's what our sport is. With these very talented individuals matching up. What it isn't, though, is an exhibition of your talents. You swing 3-0 in that game, and you're up by 7. You're trying to drive in more runs. End quote. Right. And? That was your point, Pops. Again, one of the best moments of the year. One of the best moments of the regular season, and this guy's whining about sportsmanship and that the game is, quote, not an exhibition of your talents. And there's more. Like, there's his previous complaints about players protesting racial injustice. Like when he said, quote, I really question the sincerity of somebody like Kaepernick. End of quote. And then he even said that Kaepernick was only protesting because he was, quote, struggling for attention. He tried to explain how he has changed. And maybe he has. Maybe he has. Who knows? I hope so. I doubt it. How many 76-year-olds who are that dogmatic really change? What I do know is this. The White Sox just hired a really old dude with a lot of things that he does have to explain. In other words, the White Sox have a young team with a ton of personality and talent, and they brought in this grumpy old dude. Ken Griffey Jr., playing center field for the White Sox at 38, can't believe this team just brought in a dude that old. 38-year-old Manny Ramirez and 37-year-old Jimmy Rollins, both White Sox legends, don't know what the hell Reinsdorf and the Sox are thinking. How long before he brings back 45 to patrol the outfield? General rule of thumb, Reinsdorf, do not hire dudes who are old enough to be your dad, Jerry. And you just did. XGRF 13 tractor.
TUVXYXZ.
Pretty inspired hire. Go ahead, clones. Do what you do. Hey, Rome.
He said,
if Hawk hasn't drank in a month, he'd only need about 30 of us to feel a buzz. Yours, Michelob Ultra. Stephen PHX, War Rome having Count Dracula cash, his check at the bank today. It's because of things like that that I've gone direct deposit. I don't want to deal with Count Dracula. A couple things about the bank. You know this about me, all right? I've covered this already. One, I don't want to deal with Count Dracula at the bank. And even more importantly, I do not want to be peppered with a bunch of questions from the teller asking me, hey, how you doing? Great. How are you? Fine. Any big plans for the weekend? No, not really. Oh, that's sad. How come? Do you need me to endorse that check? So you have kids, right? Oh my God. Yeah. But that's still not as bad. My favorite one was the female bank teller who looked at me one day and said, man, isn't it amazing the way people get married to complete opposites? Your wife is so sweet. And I looked at her and I said, that's cool. Can I deposit this check? She literally hit me right between the eyes with that. I'm like, yeah, and? Don't you want to ask me what I'm doing this weekend? No, you hate me. That's why. No, I go direct deposit to avoid those awkward, cringy moments. Awkward. I do whatever I can not to physically walk in the building. And then I say this, and then when I do physically walk in the bricks, they shoot me looks like, Van Smack is here. Literally everybody in the area, believe it or not, is happy to see me, except the bank. And the ones that are just pretending. I know this. So no, I will not encounter Count Dracula today, nor somebody dressed up as the virus. I'm all about the ATM. My best friend is the ATM. Hey, Rome, we are looking forward to meth in L.A. Dodgers call as much as he looks forward to cleaning upper deckers. Regards the clones. Francis in Glendale wore Ira Craig using candy corn as vampire teeth. Speaking of, let's go to the phones. Here in Los Angeles. He is Matt. He is in L.A. What's up, brother? Romulus. Go ahead, Matt. Matt. In 3, 2, and 1. Alvin.
No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
Let me save you the trouble, clones. Hey, Rome, rack him. Best Matt call ever. Isn't that amazing? First of all, I know that's a dream come true to all you clones that, quote, meth in L.A. was not there. Matt's never not been there. So the first time that Matt's not there is after the Dodgers, his beloved Dodgers, win a world championship. Matt's been honking the Dodgers from the very second he started calling this program. So in his greatest moment, a call about his beloved Dodgers, I go to him and he's not there. And not even one of those deals where maybe the phone's off to the side, he put it down. I gave him a chance, right? I didn't ring him up right when he didn't pick up. I'm like, Matt, hey, Matthew, yo, Matthias, yo, Matthias. 1,000, 2,000, 4 Mississippi, 5 Mississippi. Matt gave him every chance. Not there. Man, that is weird. 1-8. See, the problem is now he'll call back, but now you got a problem because next segment belongs to the Big Head and Big Head Bets. Then I've got to get to Alvin's week that was. I'm trying to work in a Mike Bay take. Hey, Rome. Matt in L.A., not there? Dude, that was divine intervention. Holy crap. How can you not believe in God after that? Sincerely, John in Nebraska. Amen, John. Well said. You know, there are a few things I steer clear of on this show. Politics, religion. I'll allow that. How can you not believe in a higher being after that? If you're an anti-Dodger fan or an anti-meth fan. Squirrel 2, give meth in L.A. a golden ticket now on the strength of that call. Canadian Hitman, did Matt in LA drop his phone in the toilet? Oh, the irony. D-Rod in the 925. Holy crap, Jimmy. Best call from that loser in LA ever. No. No, D-Rod. Most predictable response from you ever. Matt has been officially glossed meth. Bob, a.k.a. at Penguin488, best call Matt in L.A. ever. Mike D for three. Add Ghost Matt to the spooky mix. Greatest Matt moment. They just keep coming. Hit me up at Jim Rome. Hit me up at Jim Rome with your reaction. When we come back, Paul Stewart tweets, Matt was just raptured. Big Head Betts is coming up next. I know you're into it. And you know how I know that you're into it? Our analytics suggest that you're into it. We track this type of thing. Big Head Betts, James Kelly. At Romy, you rock, tweets, damn, Matt's call was clear, concise, and well thought out. We need more.
Romy, you rock.
Don't I? Big Head, James Kelly with Big Head Betts. When we come back, his thoughts and advice for the upcoming weekend in the NFL. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. All right, it's Friday. So what that means, among other things, is we've got another edition of Big Head Betts with the big head himself, James Kelly, a.k.a. Flight Deck. Once again, his head is huge. He has crazy amounts of data rattling around inside there. In my mind, it would be extremely irresponsible not to take advantage of that. Take that for data. Not to tap into that intel and use it to get down. Use it to get paid. Use it to buy crap that we do not need. Use his thoughts and data and his enormous head for entertainment purposes only. And if for whatever reason you do decide to get down, you do decide to bet, only do so with money that you can actually afford to lose. We go now to the Big Head Hotline. What's cracking, Head? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling pretty good, Jim. And I haven't had the opportunity to say congratulations on your Dodgers winning the World Series, so congratulations, my friend.
Are you insinuating that I'm Dodger Jim and that was a big win for me?
You sound like That's
exactly what I'm insinuating. It's been since 88, Dodgers, Jim, so congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, Fathead. I appreciate that. Good looking out. let me ask you something really quickly. Before we get into your picks, for entertainment purposes only, of course, what's it like to follow the NFL and you never know week to week exactly what's going to happen? I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. You're a degenerate for entertainment purposes only. What's it been like this year to try to follow and get down and hit the NFL?
Very, very challenging because you could come and do all your scouting reports and look at every single number you possibly can.
Oh, now you're a scout.
What's that?
Now you're a scout.
Well, I don't look at scouting reports. I'm sorry. And look at all the numbers and do everything you want and do the prep work. And then all of a sudden, look, another COVID-19 positive test. So, I don't know, man. It is challenging. But, you know, I don't know. You just got to keep looking and researching and just have more games on. Back up if you need them. So just wait. Sometimes you want to hit early, and I will do it if they have good depth on the teams. But if you are dependent on certain players, like Tom Brady or something like that, if they weren't playing a horrible team, that's when you would like wait till kickoff before you hit on a lot of these games.
Hey, Big Head, I didn't know that you and John in Little Rock were friends. Did you ask him to use his phone? What the hell, man! All right, so let's get into this now. You've got Rams. -3.5 against Miami. I bring this up because Tua is making his first NFL start. We know the Rams defense can make things really tough on a quarterback, especially one making his first NFL start. They can get after the QB. How do you think Tua is going to fare against Aaron Donald and company, and who do you like in that game?
Yeah, you nailed it right there. I mean, 99 is going to be all over him. This is a horrible, horrible time for Tua to start his NFL career, Jim. The Rams sacked 6-4 times last week and hit him 8 times. I know the Dolphins have allowed only 10 sacks this season, but that's more of a product of Ryan Fitzpatrick and getting rid of the ball early. They have to move the pocket, and Tua has to get rid of the ball. The other problem, though, is you have to run the ball against the Rams as well, and the Dolphins don't do that. They only average 3.8 yards per attempt. I like Tua. I think he's going to be great. But on Sunday, I have the Rams -3.5 on the road.
Okay, so mark this down. Rams -3.5 for entertainment purposes only. But the big head feeling pretty emphatic about that. Now, I love this, JK. Kansas City -19 versus the Jets. The Jets, 0-7, looking to run the table in reverse, which to me is always more fascinating than actually going undefeated. And they are horrible enough to do it. Eyes on the prize, slugs, one loss at a time. Next loss, Kansas City. We know the Jets have no chance, Flight Deck, of winning this game. But with the number being a big, fat -19, are you taking the Chiefs to cover?
So history is actually on the Jets' side here. In the last 30 years, teams given up plus 17 points in an NFL game have hit around 60% on that clip. The problem is history probably can't gauge eyes in his horrible team. I mean, they're ass, but I'm landing at 19, and I'm taking the Chiefs on this one, Jim. Every week is horrible matchup for Gates' offense, but this one is really, really bad because when you play from behind against Kansas City, you're playing right into their, you're playing their game. They got a good pass rush. They got good secondary, and the Jets' offense is the worst in the NFL. I mean, Frank Gore haters, I know there's plenty listening to the show, but he's actually the Jets' best offensive weapon here. He should get plenty of carries, but it's still going to be ugly. I think Lev will put it on eyes late. The Jets have been outscored by 118 points already this season, so I'm going against history, and I'm giving up 19 points, and I'm taking Kansas City.
Kansas City -19, and so far the big head quote of the week is their ass. Then you've got the Bucks, big head bets. You've got the Bucks who are -11 versus the Giants. Now, last I checked, Bucks Giants were no longer on the board that I look at. Maybe it'll come back. The Giants are garbage, but they're still in the hunt in the worst division in the NFL, and the Bucs are looking more and more dangerous Sunday to Sunday. They're -11. There's no way you're going to take the Giants in the points, are you?
Hell no. No. Uh-uh. Look, the Giants aren't the Jets by no means, Jim. These guys actually play hard for Joe Judge. It's just a talent thing, as in Gettleman hasn't acquired much. Like you said, though, the game is off the board because of Will Hernandez tested positive for COVID. And that's a major problem because he's actually their best blocker. And they haven't been able to protect Daniel Jones at all this year. The Bucs have been harassing everybody. They average 6 sacks per game. And on the offensive side, Tom Brady, dude, he's inching back in that MVP debate. His line is elite, and the Giants cannot get rush the passer anyways. I got a big game from TB43. Bucs, -11 when it comes back. Is the number on there?
Okay, how about this? What if it doesn't come back? Why are you and I discussing games that are not on the board that they, oh, wait, it's for entertainment purposes only? Oh, okay,
well,
that's fine. I retract that question.
Come back. Well, yes, but this will come back because there's no new negative test. Positive test for the Giants right now. So this will come back. It's just whether it's going to come back Sunday or Monday, and the number will be around that 11.
All right, so Flight Deck, I love this. Philly -9 against Dallas. It looks like one of the worst games ever. Like, not one of the worst games this weekend, but one of the worst games ever. But for our purposes, it's actually pretty interesting because I know how little you respect the Eagles this season. We've talked about this. Part of that's injury, but part of that's not. I know how little you respect Philadelphia this season, but how crappy would Dallas have to be a 9-point dog against a 2-win Eagle team? What are you doing with this one?
Yeah, I am. I mean, the Eagles are horrible, and they're bad, and they're banged up. But, Jim, this Cowboy team looks like the Packers one that quit, or not quit, but didn't want Mike McCarthy around in year 13. But after seven games, the Cowboys have had enough of this guy. And I think Ben DiNucci will be taking the snaps, it seems like, right now, because Dalton hasn't practiced yet, and I know he's got to practice tomorrow. But anyways, they can't block. They have no healthy linemen. They're getting Zach Martin back, which will help, but he's only blocked one guy. I mean, Carson Wentz is, too, facing the worst defense in football that averages 34.7 points a game. I'm taking the Eagles minus -9. Man, I hate it, but that's the play. Eagles minus -9.
This is amazing. Look at what you've done. We've talked four games. In three of those games, you've taken teams that were, quote, minus 19, minus 11, and minus 9. That's incredible. Is there anything else you're looking at this weekend?
I am going to take a plus here. I'm looking at the Broncos plus +3. And
homer.
Just exactly.
Bronco head. Bronco big head.
A little bit of a homer here, but I like the play. But, of course, right now it's taken down because of COVID. But it should pop up plus +3 around there. I think Vic Fangio will have something for Justin Herbert, so I am going to take a plus, and it's going to be the Broncos plus +3. I love Herbert, but Fangio, I mean, he slowed down Pat Mahomes last week. Don't be, you know, they did lose 43-16 without a doubt, but that was their offense and horrible special teams for the most part. So Denver, the home dogs, giddy up horse face.
Giddy up horse face.
Time to meet Mr. Rome.
Bronco.
Giddy up horse face.
Bronco pig head. Sneaky funny. All right, there it is. James Kelly, he's got the Rams. If you're playing at home for entertainment purposes only, and even if you're not, and you should be for entertainment purposes only, he's got Rams minus -3.5. He's got Chiefs minus -19. He's got Bucks minus -11. He has Eagles minus -9. And as a bonus right there, he's got Broncos plus +3. Deck, nice job. Well done. I know you got a big weekend. Safe travels. And I will find you next week, and we'll talk about all your glorious success.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Big Head. The Big Head quote of the week. Their ass. He just deadpans everything, doesn't he? They're devoid of talent and their ass. Saying something sucks is not a take, and saying somebody is ass is not either. Do I have to add that to the vernacular? All right, so once again, if you're tracking that type of thing, the Rams minus -3.5, the Chiefs minus -19 against the Jets, the Bucks minus -11 against the Giants, the Eagles minus -9 against the Cowboys, and he's got Denver plus +3 against the Chargers. 1-800-636-8686. Keep coming. We're not there yet. But you know what? So far, so good. Good job. It's been a good Friday. Always love to have a good, strong Friday show heading into the weekend. Speaking of the weekend, in the very least,
today's Friday.
Hawk and I are working the NFL on CBS. We're staying in Cali for it. We're still not traveling back to New York, so I will be on the NFL on CBS. Big, big day on CBS. Some great matchups, and of course, the NFL. The NFL today on CBS, starting at 12 noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. JB and the fellas in New York City. I will be in Cali with my views from Rome, and I'm looking forward to that. Just got to figure out what suit to wear. And I'm dragging Hawk out for it, too. Sunday, stay tuned. Right now, time for a sports update. Erica Herskowitz has this one. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You ask the pros, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. What I do need to do, though, is jump in right quick with Alvy's Week That Was. Hey now, what's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Wild weekend sports-wise. Hope you had a great one. Hope your week's off to a good start. Nice to have you here on a Monday.
Let's get it.
Good show for you. Lots to get done. I want to start with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah! Ball is out.
hit from behind, and that is going to be
Washington was waiting for them with a 2x4, and Dallas got absolutely wrecked again. Good news is 7 wins might be enough in that division. Bad news is I don't see how or when they're going to get a third win.
Do not score.
That's what your franchise pitcher does in the postseason. Not only did he not cost them a ring last night, he may have just won them one and changed a narrative completely that was all jacked up with to begin with.
You sound like a homer.
Joe Mowgli is my guest.
You know, frankly, you have a real opportunity to be a little bit more self-reflective. If we don't come out of this tough situation not knowing a little bit more about ourselves, that was an opportunity lost.
Mayfield looks, fires, Enzo, caught, touchdown!
Admit it, you dopes could not wait to rush up in here and kill America's quarterback. Man's game, Baker.
Touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
With 11 seconds to go!
Are you kidding me?
How the hell did he do that?
Unbelievable!
Local broadcasters are so great, aren't they?
My God!
Damn it!
20, 15, 10, punt from behind!
Therese Paylor. The guy was like a cyborg, man.
When
he had those fists pumping the way he was and he ran him down. I mean, we're talking about Buda Baker now. This guy can run.
It reminded me of Julio Jones. Because Julio's had some plays like that, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that's right.
How'd he catch my ass?
This guy is the best athlete on the field at all times.
What the
He is Kevin Ioli.
He started wrestling a bear, and then he ended fighting a bear of a man in Justin Gaethje.
And that's a big mistake by Todd Gurley.
I have never seen an opposing team celebrate as hard when the other guy scored as the Lions were.
Yeah, I should have scored.
If anything bad can happen to the Falcons, it will. That even leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
You know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call.
That's not good at all.
Oh, not good.
Adrian Amos.
Learn what we did wrong against Tampa and then throw that away. Bury that game and then get back in on our assignment, playing technically sound football, and then, you know, it showed on Sunday when we played.
He takes his $20 bill out of his pocket, he rolls it up, and jabs me right in the face with it. The owner of the camp looks at the kid and goes, Hey! What if that had been a $50 bill?
What?
Yeah, man. Yeah, stoner. What if that had been a $50 bill?
Right. I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to start anything, but Tabasco is ass.
Oh.
It really is. I mean, is it even, in fact, hot sauce? I mean, why not just hit it with some ketchup?
Email.
Hot sauce in my eye.
I'm sorry.
Hot sauce in my eye.
I'm going to kill Jim Rome. I want to eat his children.
How funny do you think that is when Mike Tyson eats one of you two kids? Then who's getting flamed, Junior?
You know, the game doesn't change. It might be a trick play here and there, but the game doesn't change. And it comes down to who the baddest on the field.
Call strike three. The Dodgers win finally.
They were great when it mattered most. Don't even think about coming around here and try to hang an asterisk on this. That is the ultimate in idiocy.
Homer.
It's just a bad take, and it's wrong.
Wrong.
Talk about a short leash. 73 pitches.
He is making really good players look really bad.
Snell can't believe
They're about the process. They have a system. They have a process. They stick to the process. They're not deviating from that process. My point is, deviate from the process. It is Carlos Pena.
Man, what can I say, Jim? Really, really happy to be back with you in the show, but I'm having a very tough time digesting and assimilating what happened last night, man. I'm struggling with that.
Struggling. What happens sometimes is when you have to use an earpiece known as an IFB.
To get the season completed.
So take that trophy to Pier 1 Import and bust a grumpy in there. 50% off.
It's cute, Rex. Bust a grumpy.
I've given him my change. This guy, you know, after traffic goes through, he's all stomping around on the grass, all pissed because he didn't get more free money. Come on, dude.
Caesar salad with grilled calamari.
I hit that man as hard as I possibly could for nothing.
The Jets are a dumpster fire. We all know that.
We believe that porno is something you earned, not something you're entitled to.
Dan Wetzel, my guest. But if you're in a bad marriage, Dan, and then you end up sleeping in separate rooms, can you ultimately get back in the same room?
I don't know, but it's a football. I mean, when someone's paying you $55 million a year to be there, your solo bedroom doesn't seem too bad.
Bread basket in there.
Don't score.
They don't want that smoke.
Like a dog was chasing. I'm coming right behind you.
And then Mom's is running alongside the bus like the Secret Service.
It's all you, baby. Let's go.
I mean, they're ass.
Smashing some ass, you can also pump some shit. Good night now!
I love that he got Jeff and Southfield and the big head in there. I mean, they are some ass. All right, so a couple of weeks back, I played the trailer for what I thought was the worst movie ever, starring one of the worst guys ever. You remember that? The shoot 'em up Christmas thriller called Fat Man, starring disgraced idiot Mel Gibson as Santa Claus.
I've come for your head, fat man!
You think you're the first? Think I got this job because I'm fat and jolly?
So, I mean, that whole thing was just a disaster. Garbage. Turns out Michael Bay saw that piece of hot garbage and said, hold my nasal swab. Because yesterday, a trailer for the most grotesque, cringy, and tone-deaf piece ever of cinema ever dropped. And you truly will not believe this until you hear it. First of all, some background on Bay. Bay is a Hollywood director and a producer known for his unrelenting pursuit of blowing crap up and making the least believable action scenes ever. This guy's done movies like Transformers, Armageddon, and The Purge. And when he tackles serious subjects like he did with Pearl Harbor in 13 hours, everybody just shudders at how badly he misses the mark. In other words, if you want to start with a bad idea and then infuse that with some horrible writing and even worse acting and a grip of CGI directing, then Bay is your guy. And he's pretty shameless about the whole thing, by the way. These guys like Nickelback, Creed, and Imagine Dragons all rolled into one, but as a movie director. So it should be no surprise to anybody anywhere that when Mike Bay looks out his window these past 8 months and he sees a 250,000 deaths and unemployment lines wrapped around the planet, he thinks to himself, damn, I should make a movie about that and start stacking serious cash off of this suffering, which is exactly what he's done with his new action film, Songbird. Again, the trailer dropped yesterday. And if you were looking to smash popcorn and crush fountain drinks to a bunch of people dying in a movie from the coronavirus, look no further than Bay's new flick.
Good morning, Miss Garcia.
Good morning, sunshine. I miss you. I could kiss you right now.
Yeah, well, someday.
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development
new
today.
New data confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
I mean, what's more offensive here? The fact that he juxtaposed mass death to Bob Marley's feel-good classic Three Little Birds? Or that he literally made a movie about COVID-19 mutating into COVID-23 as America enters its fourth straight year of lockdown?
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
If this feels like it's in the worst form possible, and extremely tasteless, it's because it's in the worst form possible and extremely tasteless and way too soon. It's always going to be too soon. And it gets worse.
Whoa, I'm immune.
Worldwide death toll rises to over 110 million.
All infected Americans are being forced into quarantine camps.
All right, so Bay has killed 110 million people worldwide. And he's forcing Americans into, quote, quarantine camps. Like, here I am hoping for a vaccine and a return to normal. Turns out the only thing normal about 2020 is that Bay still sucks. Here's more of a trailer.
Sarah. Every little thing. Sarah, what's going on?
Department of Sanitation.
Sarah, talk to me.
I think my neighbor has a fever.
It'll be so much easier if you just open the door.
Oh, okay, cool. So Mike Bay's little fantasy land includes the Department of Sanitation knocking on doors, checking for fevers. Yeah, that's nice. That's reassuring. That's peaceful. That's what we all want and need to see right about now. What else you got, Bay? Creep?
Beginning thermal scan. 3, 2, 1. Anomaly detected. Armed guards will be arriving in 4 to 6 hours. You must not attempt to leave your home, or you will be shot on sight.
Bay can't help himself. We're all doing whatever we can to make this thing right and get away from it for a moment or so. This guy's got a movie where you'll be shot on sight by armed guards if you attempt to leave your home. Yeah, that must have been a really fun page of the screenplay to workshop. I mean, damn, Bay, what's next?
Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to survive.
I'm trying to save the one person left in my life that matters to me.
And that's it. There's your trailer. If that sounds extremely dumb and offensive, it looks way worse. I'm going to encourage you not to find it. Plenty of people already have, though, and the responses have ranged from, quote, too soon, all the way to, are we sure Michael Bay doesn't have the virus? Losing your taste is one of the symptoms, quote, end of quote. Right, but that'd be giving this guy way too much credit for having any taste to begin with. And maybe it's me, but when 250,000 people have passed away and families are wrecked and jobs are at an all-time low and anxiety and depression and fear at an all-time high, maybe you don't go making a movie where you multiply that out by infinity and you profit from it. And maybe you don't have armed guards shooting sick people on sight in year four of a lockdown. Hey, Mike. Stop reading horrible screenplays and read The Room instead. Nobody wants this. It offends and assaults every sensibility that every person besides you has. Come on, man. Even you have to be better than this. Too bad you're not. My thanks to Jim Trotter, Dan Wetzel, Harrison Bryant, the XR4TI. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Sunday. I'm out.